simple stuff. You don't have to do anything unusual, but it ought to come natural. Yes. And we'll say we love things just at the drop of the hat. Ooh, I love faith. Ooh, I love peace. Ooh, I love good. God will for all our lips. Like, come on. I've been around some of us in the church a long time. I so glad. There are some people I have never heard say they love God.
I could probably get away with that, what, one or two Sundays before the chairman, okay, our sound is changing somehow.
But you know, Charlie, that he mentioned this, Charlie, and somebody goes, that's what's wrong. You walk your game, you glad you Sunday, you come out there finally. Man, we, come on, man. The kind of money we putting out, you got to put out. I might be sitting up on a ladies' debate or something. But the reality is, look at yourself now. See, I've been talking about me for a minute. Look at yourself. How many of you can say, Pastor, me and you on the same team? I feel the same way about my service to God, my little song, or my little usher moment, or my little deacon moment. You know, our deacons do a few things and could do a few more maybe. But if they don't go out and do their few things, somebody's going to say, well, what the deacons do? What good are they? Same thing with trustees. Same thing with ushers. Same. When I look up there some Sundays, I'm amazed. I thought I had at least 17 strong, and I got 9. My mind starts wondering. Well, I can't, Ms. Davis ain't here yet. My mind starts wondering, what is going on with people? When I was in the military, and Brother Thomas knows this be true, I could walk out formation. We had formation O-Dog 30 every morning. All of the senior sergeants, all of the platoon sergeants go in the order room, and get their little clipboard, and you know, we get ready. I could walk out. As soon as I come around the lanai, which is a Hawaiian term for patio or porch or portico, as soon as I could tell you if my whole platoon was there, because everybody in their place. They had the same, all my squad leaders stood to the extreme right behind me, all the squad leaders. And after the squad leaders were the assistant squad leader, my section chief stood at the back of the formation. I could just walk out the door and know I got 49. All I got to do is look at them. I come around that corner, I can't tell what I got. And if I don't know, I wonder if God even knows. Because we fool him sometimes. Because what we're supposed to be doing ought not to be about people, but about God. And you can't get frustrated with people serving God, because serving God ain't got nothing to do with people. Not really. I mean, okay, I know some of y'all think, yes, well, no, because you got to look ever to Jesus and he'll carry you through. People will do what people do. God is consistent. People are complicated. That's why when you do stuff, you can't look at their faces. Because they're not going to always appreciate what you do. But the Lord will. Whatever you're doing, you're doing it as unto the Lord. But again, back to the original question, what are you doing? Every one of you have been called by God. The reason God woke you up this morning, because there's still something for you to do. You're not here just to sit on a pew. God ain't going to get no glory out of that. This is the training ground. You know, we got to go in the training room and learn all that stuff. But don't, how many weeks y'all train folk over there? Okay, and after 6 weeks, don't you expect something? And what happens after 6 weeks if the folk you train in the room and outside the room don't do nothing? Thank you, Jesus. That's simple. Because you trained them. They came to the training, accepted the training, signed a little contract, whatever, and promised him that I would serve him till I die. You know, we work at J. Crew. Greyhound, any of y'all ever worked for Greyhound? Greyhound had a policy years ago. They would not hire previous experienced bus drivers because they didn't want you bringing your bad habits from Trailways to Greyhound. If you fill out an application at Greyhound and said experience, they pretty much said, nah. They wanted to train you the Greyhound way because they knew then there's no conflict. Our condition in the church is catastrophic because we've got so many bad habits from other places that when we do come into a good learning place, we figure don't take all that. Oh, I ain't got to be there every Sunday. I mean, I'll come some Sunday. I know you don't expect me to open that door every Sunday and turn all them lights on and kick the furnace off and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we do. You're a trustee. You're a deacon. We expect you to pray all the time. We expect you to do the deacon's thing. You're in the choir. You're not in. We don't have but one. You know, one of the biggest fights I got in, Audrey remembers this. When I came, we had all them choirs. I said, no, we're just going to have one. And ooh,
this choir and choir number one and choir number two and all that kind of men's chorus. And you know, here's what I was doing. And it worked out like I figured it would. I figured if you were so committed to whatever that choir was, being in this choir wouldn't be no different. You know what happened? We totally lost the men's chorus. Ain't but one man singing in our choir. We had, what, 8 or 9 men in the men's chorus back then? Ain't but one man stuck with it. That was Addison. All other men. So if you love singing in the men's chorus, why can't you love singing in any choir? So your showmanship was greater than your spirituality. Come on, talk back to me. And we ain't been successful with getting no men till James came along. James said, I feel sorry for Addison. Up there all by him lonesome. I'm going up there and help my homie out. But stay with me, y'all. Because what you're doing, you're calling. You can't sit here and think to yourself that just sitting where you're sitting is giving God the glory. Ain't no work in that. There's no worthiness to just sitting. You know, in the military, we call it bump on a log, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody got it. On the same pew you sitting on, what do you do around here? I'm serious. You sit by these people every Sunday. Haven't you ever been curious as to what do they do? Have you ever sat there and thought to yourself, why do you keep coming? Especially when you meet people who always got something negative to say about what we're trying to do around here or the way things are going. You ought to ask them, listen, since you don't like nothing that's happening here, why don't you help fix some of it? You keep coming here every Sunday, sitting 3 pews back and to the right, and yet you have no input whatsoever. Don't you think maybe you can make a difference? You ought to be able to explain what you do. They got Jesus walking down the sidewalk one day and said, hey, What meaneth these things you doing? Why? What authority do you have? Jesus said, well, okay, I'll ask you a question before I answer that question. He said, now, let me see. If you tell me what you understand about Moses, what you understand about his work, and what you understand about, and if you understand John, if you understand the baptism, if you, you know, he gave a couple of things. And they say, if we answer that, he's going to have us. Because if we say this, then he's going to say that. And if he say that, we got to say this. They said, never mind. Go on, do what you're going to do. We're going to kill you for it, but go ahead. And so the reality for us is this. What are you doing? And if you don't know what you're doing, you certainly don't know why you're doing it. And if you don't know what or why, we definitely ain't got to worry about the when. W-H-E-N. You ain't going to never do it. You'll be sitting right there until Jesus comes. And that is not good gospel. So when Pilate, he sits there with Pilate the last few days, and he said, Pilate, it's for this reason that I came. I ain't got no problem with it. Pilate trying to get kingship and all that kind of stuff. He said, listen, man, you're missing it. My kingdom is not here. This is no big deal. He said, son, if you only knew. He said, but what I'm doing, I can do it. That's why Jesus goes to Calvary without wobbly legs. Oh, the cross is heavy. He looked bowed down. But the beatings, the scorn, he can take it because he sees the bigger picture. He said, I came for this. And I won't have to do it every day. I got to do it this day. And that's that, y'all missed that shout right there. There are some things you won't have to do every day. You'll just be able to do it this day. That's why you get one day at a time. See, y'all problem is y'all like to carry over stuff. Y'all don't like to let stuff go. You had a bad day yesterday, forget about it. The ministry didn't go well, rehearsal went bad. Y'all carry over. Y'all got stuff going on in the choir that's 7 years old. Don't think I don't know. Y'all need to let that stuff go. Y'all need to learn how to just come today, how to come sing today, how to rehearse today, how to let whoever going to sing today, sing today. And just stop worrying about what happened then. Just do now. That's why I come out with preaching excitement every Sunday. Because I worry about what I saw last week. If I worry about what I heard last week, if I worry about the finance report from last week, I will never get to being a good pastor because I'd be fussing all the time. I'd be raising sand about yesterday and don't even see that I got today. I would miss every wonderful thing God, y'all ain't getting with this. I would miss every wonderful thing God is trying to do right now because I'm stuck on stupid from yesterday. I'm still rolling my eyes at somebody who said something to me and don't even know what they were talking about. And there's nothing. Stop worrying about lies when you know the truth. Most of what people say about you, they lying, they making it up, they jealous, they got envy, and you getting all upset about people who don't know nothing about you. They don't know nothing about your children. They don't know nothing about your husband. They don't know why your hair look like that. They don't know nothing about nothing. And you stand there going, she better get my woman out of her mouth. Don't worry about who, listen, don't worry about who call your name except Jesus. I'm serious. I've learned. Let it go. Just let it go. And folk going to have their moment only when you give it to them. Playground rules. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can, that's what you got to remember. And keep him high and lifted up, and you don't have to worry about getting drugged down in the mud. Because the higher you lift Jesus, the higher he pulls you. See, and our problem is we don't want to ever let go and wonder why we stuck. Just you gotta understand that I was called for greater than this. Do your job. Do your duties. Take the high road. The Spirit searches all things. Operate in the Spirit and leave that secular stuff alone. Matthew 21, did I mention that? You do know I'm already there. You should be able to demonstrate to define your duties. People all look at you and say, that's what you are. There's an old campaign those of us who went to school in the 70s, about middle school, well, elementary, whatever it was, we didn't have middle school, we had elementary school, but there was a campaign that came out from the Dairy Association, and the slogan was, "You are what you eat." Melvin remembers. When him and Joshua would go out on the playground for recess, they talked about it. I'm calling Melvin old. But that was a campaign, "You are what you eat." And really, it's true. Some of y'all unhealthy because you eat unhealthy. Not just food. In every part of your life, you are struggling because you don't nourish yourself. The Word of God is life. And them that got the Word got life. Man does not live by, but by that proceedeth the mouth of. Who are you listening to then? You all frustrated and twitterpated about people. Just talk to God. Stop listening to people. Don't stop engaging foolishness and you won't be a fool. Think about it. If you, how many of y'all ever been on your job and people started rattling in your ear and you got frustrated? Messed up your whole day, didn't it? Because you over there with old hateful Hattie and old misaligned Maddie. You all just walk away. How many of y'all have ever had your best day because you didn't mess with none of them? You say, you know what? When I get to work today, I'm going to stay focused. Now, it's a challenge because they're going to come to you because you got history. They're going to come to you because you got history. You do know that the only reason you own the gossip train because you bought the ticket. They didn't make you get on. All that stuff that started on your job, because you, when you were new, they didn't bother you. You do know when you come new, that's your best chance. Because they don't know nothing about you, see? They don't know how to approach you. They don't know what the, it's when you start exposing yourself is when people start engaging you. If they know you're going to be a gossiper, it's because you started gossiping. But if you stay new, then you do 30 years on the job and nobody will have ever got you in a conflict. Because you know what somebody going to say? Hey, she ain't about that. Hey, man, you can't go let dude that stuff. Man, that dude a Christian. He going to read you. You go there, start, he going to start praying. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Because y'all know what happened. Y'all got in it, and now you can't get out of it. Because the day you go and won't say, oh, you acting funny today. What's up with that? And then you know what they say? Oh, it ain't going to last. She'll be back. It'll preach in her head right now, but it ain't going to be long. And you know what happens? You got to be steadfast, unmovable, always. What does always mean? Mm-hmm. My friend is here now. You bring that old gal with you? Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Always abounding. Your work in the Lord ought to be your most important thing. And the reason we don't do that is because we don't understand our duties. Everybody head down. Jess, what's wrong with them? Y'all ain't feeling it. Think about it. Okay, on your job, how many of y'all get performance evaluations? How many of you ever had one? And you don't have to raise your hand if it happened. But how many of you had one you disagreed with? Okay. There's a process, right? You can go in there and say, listen, this ain't right here. And the only way they might change that is you've got to present what? An argument that's counter to what they say. You got to say, now, wait a minute. You're saying I was late, blah, blah, blah. Show me. See, you need to, then you're saying my, you know, so you can, but how many of you know that ain't no need of going in there arguing with them people when you know they got you? You know it, they know it, the ink pen, the typewriter know it, everybody know it, so you just read that thing and get mad. And how many of you realize that what you're reading is you? So who can fix that? You. In order to get better, you got to do better. So in the body of Christ, again, here's a question. What do you do around here? And if you're sitting there looking at me with them eyes, like two or three of y'all looking at me, you know I ain't scared of nobody. You know I come out here armed to the tooth. don't y'all make me. My point is simply this. You know what I do. Now think about it. What the church is in bad shape. I'll admit that. But what shape you think this church would be in if I didn't keep trying to do Bible study? If I didn't keep trying to preach? If I didn't keep trying to get people to give? What do you think would happen if I had the attitude some of y'all looking at me with right now? It's getting real, ain't it? Because people are always trying to tell me, Deacon Walker, what I'm supposed to be doing. You the pastor. You're supposed to go visit people. You're the pastor. If everybody know what I'm doing, I think I know now why you don't know what you're doing. You so busy trying to tell me what I'm doing, you ain't paid attention to what you ought to be doing. Leave me alone. I'm rather good at what I do. Thank you very much. I'm serious. Our choir is in the shape it's in because y'all won't focus on being a good servant in the choir. Just forget all that. Listen, y'all losing it for no good reason. And you know why nobody else want to get in the choir? Because they hear y'all talking about the choir. I done tried to recruit people. They said, no, Reverend. I can see it from out here. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, y'all get lucky, and y'all want to mess that up. I know what people say about not coming here. One thing they say is, he teach, he demanding, he hard. Yep, all them good qualities of a pastor. I ain't nobody's pushover. I ain't been passive about nothing. So when I hear people say, man, they tell me, Brookville, you holding it down over there, Reb. Mm-hmm. I don't run no candy shop. I run a sweatshop. Just ain't enough people sweating. Except me. So you see who just wiped their brow? Well, nobody but me. Everybody else sitting here cool, calm, collected. We're looking at the clock. That's why we don't have one in here. I'm the timekeeper, Jesse. And it works out just like I want. The reality is, Sister Darlene, don't get put out early. You ain't really been here long enough to have no points in your favor. You'll wind up back where you come from. And your son gonna stay with us. He ain't gonna. He owe us something. But see, here it is. Okay, Matthew 21. Did I mention that? Okay, let's look at it. All right, let's come down to verse 23. All right, I'm going to use this, and I'm going to help you. Jesus returns to the temple, began teaching. The leading priests and other leaders came up to him. Now, I already told you this, but I figure I better read. They demanded, by whose authority did you drive out the merchants from the temple? Who gave you such authority? Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll answer your question if you answer this question. Did John's baptism come from heaven or was it merely human? Now, I told you, they got in a little huddle, sit around and said, no, you know, if we mess around and answer this, we're going to have problems. Because he got us. And all Jesus is saying is, I can tell y'all why I do what I do. But if you're going to ask me why I do what I do, what's your game? What are you going to do different after I answer the question? See, after all the Bible study y'all been to, or should have been too. You really should be better off by now. Again, Elizabeth said 6 weeks. Let me ask you a question. What happens to employee number 3962 if he comes 2 weeks and not 3 weeks? Can't continue. Dismiss. Drop from the rolls. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from here. That's right. So can you imagine what would happen, Deacon Walker, if we start making folks sign in for Bible study, sign in for church service, and then they miss 1 week out of the 3 week course? You know, we've tried everything. We've tried a little this, little. But folks say, oh, I'm in, Reverend. So what are we supposed to do then? If what we're trying to train you to do, you don't finish the training, you can't have the assignment. And there it is. Same thing at what company you with now? Yeah. If you don't finish what they, you know, you were at GenWorks, they looked at what you did there and said, this might be a good candidate. But didn't they train you the Mass Mutual way? Then they said, now, we appreciate you, but all them books and manuals, if you got any secrets, bring them to us, and we'll pay your bonus, but you got to do it our way now. Very good. So it is in the body of Christ, you need to do it the Lord's way. See how quiet everybody got right there? And let me tell you why. Here's what I discovered, Deacon Walker. One of the reasons people are so difficult and disobedient with God is because they're difficult and disobedient everywhere else. Some of the same people that raise sin in church raise sin on their job. And I found that the same people that are loyal on their job are loyal in the church. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. You know why? Because you can't change yourself like that. You got all of these hats you putting on. You got all of these clothes you wearing. You got all of these different dispositions. You trying to fool yourself, and you can't keep up. We are bred by familiarity. That's why we drive the same way to work. That's why we sit the same place in the church, because we like to be familiar. And anything counter to that kind of shakes us a little bit. We're afraid of new. We're afraid of unknowns. And that's why Jesus said, learn me. You know why the disciples were so effective after Christ left? It's because they remembered what they were trained. While he was with them, they just kind of watched and said, what means? But when he left and the Holy Spirit looked at him and said, why y'all standing here gazing? Go to your training. That's why when stuff happens in the church, we don't know how to have a church response because we missed the training. That's why some of the stuff that's happening in y'all choir is happening because a whole lot of folk in y'all choir don't come to training. They don't come to Bible study. They don't listen to me. And so what you got going on is a conflict of interest. Some of y'all got kingdom interest. Some of y'all want to sing to glorify God. You got other folk up there that's just singing to be seen. I'm singing to start a scene. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm retiring next year. I'm telling y'all that right now. So I can talk all I want right now. 20 years and I'm gone. I'm done. But my point to you is simply this. What are you doing here? What's your job? And why is it we got to beg you to do kingdom? They don't beg you to show up at your job. They don't beg you to show up at your job. They don't beg you. They hired you and had an expectation. Why can't we have an expectation of you in the church? Don't nobody have to call you. Don't nobody have to keep looking around the corner. When your supervisor come by your workstation, you own it. How many of y'all got them little codes and people got in the system when the boss comes and somebody do the little code? Oh, good morning. How are you? Fine. Oh, everybody's busy as a bee. Y'all know y'all got them codes on the job. Morning, Miss Charlie. Work around here. All clear. You do know that fanning don't make the smoke go away. And mints don't hide it. But in the church, we could give less than a ham sandwich by not being there. I ain't going this morning. I know he ain't calling me, asking me to ride to no hospital in Charlottesville to see nobody. You're a deacon. And you shouldn't just be a deacon when I'm around. Come on, talk to me, y'all. They asked Jesus, by what authority are you doing this? My question is, why won't you do what you've been given the authority to do? If you're supposed to be doing it, why do we have to beg you to do it? You work for the Lord. You don't work for me. You can work with me. You don't work for me. I can't afford you. All y'all out of my pay scale. I'm serious. I can't pay y'all. But if you work for the kingdom, we'll get along hunky-dory. Think about it. You don't have to have no title to be a servant. You got a title, servant. That's your title. He don't recognize my calling. No, because I don't ever see it. How am I going to recognize what I don't ever see? He don't respect my gift. Where is it? Y'all ain't talking to me. Thank you. I appreciate y'all. Finally, I'm church I've been looking for. Some people, when I'm right, say I'm right. Somebody, when I'm preaching, say, preach, Reverend, you own it. So I can keep going. But my point is simply this. Matthew 21. They ask him, okay, why are you doing this? Jesus said, okay, Let's balance it out. If you're going to ask me about what I do, let me ask you, do you understand what I'm doing? Jesus takes an arbitrary thing. John's baptism really had nothing to do with the question they asked him. But he knew if he asked them about something spiritual, because their minds are secular, they miss it. So look what they say. Watch this. They say, well, now if we say it was from heaven, he'll ask, why didn't we believe him? You know, because you ought to believe that heaven stuff. I say, you all ought to believe that heaven stuff. That ain't enough amens, but I'm used to it, so I'll move on. But they realize, they say, you know what? He got us, man, because this man just told us he's the Son of God. You know, he told them. And so they say, well, okay, if he'll get us there. Then they say, but if we say it's human, the mob, the people, gonna beat us down because they think he a prophet. You know what? They bought into Jesus. You know what I believe? I really believe that people can talk about Jesus any kind of way they want to around some of us and we ain't gonna do nothing. People criticize us, call us crazy, and y'all just standing up. I serve a living God. Ain't nobody gonna trash talk my Jesus. Me and this guy in the airport the other day got into it a little bit, see, because he said something he ain't had no business saying. He was watching a little CNN monitor in the airport, you know, and they were talking about religious freedom or something. And he said, you know, these Christians get on my nerves. And you know, sometimes when you're sitting down, people don't get the full gist of how big you are. So I stood up. I said, excuse me, what'd you just say? He said, you a Christian? I said, yeah. I said, you know, that what you just said is the reason why. And I went down my little trail with that thing, and people about three rows around and two went doing it. I said, now remain calm, or I'm going to have to take up an offering. They fell out laughing then. But I ain't going to let these Christians. I stood up. I said, excuse me? He said, you a Christian. See, I didn't have no cross on, but I stood up. And like I said, I did my little speech and a couple people. Because you know why? After all he's done for me, that's the least I can do for him. See how some of y'all think about that? They realize, man, these people done bought into this guy. They hooked. We can't take the chance on being wrong two times. If we say it from heaven, they gonna hear us say that. You and I ought to be able to define our duties and what we do and why we do and when we do and where we do ought to all come together. Not just on Sunday. Make your calling and election sure. You're going to sing? Be sure about it. And don't just sing because you can sing. Sing because you sing. God, this is my gift. This is my reciprocal agreement with you. Lord, if you give me a voice, I'm going to sing. Lord, if you give me feet, I'm going to walk. Y'all ain't talking to me. By what authority? The authority he gave me when he gave me the calling. I tell people all the time, preaching is what I do because the preacher is what I am. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. There's no doubt in my mind. How can you ask me not to do it? Reverend, don't preach no more. Shoot me. Do know I'm shooting back, but, you know, hope you're quicker than me. But the fact of the matter is, come on now, you hear some Sundays, y'all know by now. What's your duty? You ought to demonstrate that. You ought to be able to define that. There ought to be a certain level of, y'all ain't going to stop me now. In all of these sermons. They're asking Jesus a silly question, but he goes spiritual. And let me help you with the next thing. Don't get silly with silly people. You all up in the pastor's face, he using you. Don't entertain that stuff. Man, that's one of the oldest tricks in the demonic handbook from way back. Oh, you the pastor flunky. Mm-hmm. Oh, you all up in his face. No, don't worry about that one. Just look at him and go, that's about the stupidest thing you say to me. I'm the Lord's servant. And then brush him off. You got to learn how to shake the dust. Don't get caught up in the dust storm. See, a lot of things y'all bring on yourself because you keep trying to explain the unexplainable. You don't owe nobody no explanation like that. Why you be all up there? Why you all up the church? Why you put your money in? That's about the stupidest thing you can say to me. I tithe because the Lord told me to. And see, I can't explain the things of God to the godless. You do know that sometimes you're talking to the wrong audience. I love to give. I love to serve. And, you know, again, while I was home, a young fellow, one of my cousin's friend, he come say, hey, cuz, this dude I work with, man, he got a new house, man, and I told him you'll come bless his house. I said, what? Yeah, man, he my homeboy, man. I thought about you, man. They're going to have a housewarming, and I told him you'll come bless the house. Now, see, some of y'all know exactly how that was really supposed to go. You and I both know that when people have a housewarming, that is not we looking for the preacher. They were finna get down. Now, you done told the boy. The boy couldn't say no, I guess. So I said, give me the dude's number. I called the guy. I said, hey, how you doing? And I can tell this boy can't spell Jesus. Not even the Puerto Rican version, Jesus. And he said, yeah, I was just wondering if you can come by and bless my house. I said, are you a Christian? Well, I go to church. I said, okay, we got a problem here. And I explained it to him. And after I got through talking to him, he was most appreciative of the fact that I put him on a right path. Yeah. Oh, we talked a good little while. And when I got there, he brought his girlfriend out, who is not his wife. And I said, now, if y'all want me to bless this house, y'all going to do some stuff that the Lord requires. Why won't you marry this woman? And she was glad to hear that. She gave him the thank you, Reverend, look. And then he said, well, you know, and I said, listen to me. And we talked some more. And now they're going to get marriaged. I mean, they've been living together. I mean, come on. You know, got a child and all that kind of stuff. Nice house, too. Real nice. And so I said, now I'll bless your house. Because the presence of the Lord is welcomed here. And so we went through some things. And then when the folks showed up, they were not in. They didn't know no preacher was going to be there. Because they were getting out with leaders and half leaders. And they, none of it was oil. Well, it was oil, but it was a different kind of oil. And when they found out I was the preacher, they started doing stuff like this. Going backwards to the car. Hey, come on in, man. But the point I'm trying to make is this. That's what I do. I didn't have to say, well, I'm out of town. I'm on vacation. I got my little tablet from home. Did some reading and thought about it and came in and listen, let me tell you something. I could have started a church down there. They said, where your church at? I said, in Virginia. Man, I wish your church was here. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I said, well, you know, it's just how we do it, you know. But that's what I do. And you ought to be the same way. Here's what the word requires. You be instant, in season. You ought to be ready to do what you've been called to do. Just like that. You in the choir, you ought to be able to sing. There are moments when a song in a certain environment will make a difference. You might not be able to preach, but you say, let me sing this little bit for y'all right here. It's a ministry in that. A prayer. All y'all don't know how to pray. All y'all don't know how to pray. And I'm not talking about nothing that you got to open a book and read. You ought to have something in your heart that can tell the world that you know how to talk to God. Amen. How many of y'all write letters? few of us write letters. What's the hardest part about writing a letter? Getting started. The first line. Now, most of us write, dear whoever. All right, that's easy. But after that comma, so some of us start out with, how are you? Fine, I hope. And you stop again and go. Or you write, the purpose of this letter is, okay, whatever. But it takes some real thought to express yourself on that paper. That's why prayer ought to be routine to us. Because you've spent time talking and thinking about God. And when you close your eyes, take your time and pray. And you ought to pray instant and without ceasing. Riding along in your car, you ought to be praying. When you get up in the morning, when you talk to your people, you ought to be praying. And that's part of your calling, to be oracles of God, to bring a word. See, some of y'all looking around the room, you'd think some of y'all ain't never seen this room before. Because y'all taking it all in now. I didn't know they had that many chandeliers in here. I'm right here, and I'm trying to help you. Oops, my time is up again. But please understand, what do you do? And if you still sitting here after I done asked you that 9 times and you can't answer it, you need definition. You ought to be able to define and demonstrate your duties. I'm a servant of God in the capacity of an usher. I'm a servant of God in the capacity of, and you ought to be proud of that. Because God called you. Everybody in the room probably had this experience at one time or another. Somebody called your mama, daddy, grandma, and you didn't answer. And they got hot. How many of you ever came home after an extended vacation running around the neighborhood and mama said, you know how long I've been calling you? Ain't none of y'all ever had that one? You know how long I've been calling? And you look at them like, no. And that ain't the right answer. That is not the right answer. That's when your knees buckle. You get waved. How about this one? Don't make me call you. I want you back in here by 5:30 because we're leaving at 7 o'clock. And you got to wash it. Don't make me call you. Here's the other one. Don't make me come looking for you. I wonder how many of y'all in here know the Lord been looking for you. He been missing you. Look at all these people the Lord looking for this morning. Look at all the people the Lord been calling. We got 200 and something plus folk put their name on the line and can't put their behind in the pew. So you're just going to sign up for the Christian Jubilee, write your name on the roll, but you can't attend to the things of God, but I bet you go to work tomorrow. I bet you they go to work tomorrow. I bet you they go to work tomorrow. I bet you they eating dinner today. I bet they're driving God's car. I bet you they're enjoying the benefits of blessedness. But God can't get 2 hours. Drive by and see some of them today. Tell them I sent you. Say, Pastor told me to come check on your state of blessedness. Is that prime rib? You killed a fatted calf and then bless him who owned the calf? You know, cattle on a thousand hills. Watch him drink the Lord's nectar. Lemons off his tree. I made some lemonade last night. Boom! I figured out a new way to make lemonade. This is easy. I'm not going to share this with y'all. Okay, I will. Instead of, okay, my time's up. But this, I'm serious. This is what I do. I take the lemons and peel them. Put them in the blender. And blend them. Take a strainer, pull the, you know, so the seeds and forget all that rolling lemons and all that. No, throw them in a hole. I throw them in a hole. Just peel them, throw them in a hole, run them through the blender, pull the juice through, put my 2-4-5 cups of sugar. Man, look at here. And see, you don't have to worry about the you know, because, you know, the peels make the lemon juice sour after a while. You ain't got that problem. I made some, listen, I'm telling you, y'all laughing, try it. I got a ninja now. You got to have a good blender. I put 5 lemons in the ninja, hit it, take a strainer, pour it in, all the lemon juice, shake it a little bit, and put my sugar in it. I was sitting there. I drank at least a gallon of lemon juice. I sit there I kept saying, man, I drank just about all of it. So today I got to go by Walmart, get me some more lemons. I'm on to something. I took my look. I got a real good knife, little paring knife, and just, you ain't got to get all the white stuff off either. Just do it like, because that's going to stay in there when you strain it. And look at here, just for decoration. That's all them lemons is. You don't need that in there. When people taste that, they're going to say, this lemonade. All right, y'all, report back next week. If y'all don't do nothing I told y'all for 19 years, go home and make this lemonade. I'm telling you. All right, y'all laughing. No, it ain't going to go sour. See, I read up on it. That's what make your lemonade go bad early, because those peels in there. I said to myself, I ain't rolling all these lemons because, you know, I want lemonade. Man, this worked. Yes, sir. Okay, my time is up. Now, again, let's just get one more review here. You ought to be devoted, because that devotion helps to find the worth of your worship, the worth of your work, and the willingness of your will. See, when you devote, you just do it. How many of you, again, let's just try one more time, because some of y'all, you know, you got caught behind the train and you just got here. But some of y'all, how many of you do stuff for folk just because you love them? See, just about every hand went up. Even the kids, some of the kids voted. All right, so think about that. So serving God because you love him ought to be just like that. And so then once you understand that part, then you start looking at what you do, why you do. When you see, I know my assignment schedule. None of the deacons call me and say, "Oh, Reverend, you know you got to be there." They don't do that. They don't say, "Reverend, you're working on writing a lesson." They don't do that. When I first came, I think Lewis Starling was here. I think when I just met with the deacons, Deacon Clark told me something that I laughed about. He said, "Well, Reverend, we don't expect you to keep hours. You know what you're doing." And I said, "Praise the Lord, thank you." Because you know we were doing that full time. He said, "Reverend, we don't expect you to keep no." He said, "We have to set no hours for you." That's what he said. "We ain't got to set no hours for you. You know what you're doing." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you don't need us riding by here wondering where you're at." He said, "You know where you're at." And I said again, "Thank you, Jesus." But here's my point. Y'all know I know what I'm doing. How come I don't know what y'all doing? We on the same team. You know, a team works best when the team is working. You know, that little slogan, teamwork makes the dream work, or something like that. I don't know what that means. But I do know this. I ought to be able to look down the line and troop the line and know that my mechanic is mechanicking, my truck driver is truck driving, my clerk is clerking, you know. And that way we are one efficient machine in the body of Christ. I shouldn't look around and see part of a choir when I know how many folk ought to be in the choir. I shouldn't worry about who ushering and why I ain't got no usher on this door and why ain't nobody over here. And I, no, none of that should happen. We too old for that. We on the slippery slide of the slope. Ain't long for some of us now. Some of y'all better tighten up. It won't be long now. You in the winter of your existence. Okay. Minister Dixon is giving me the sign that I'm scaring folk. The children are looking. What does that mean? But what do you do? I mean, come on. You've been, again, this is my 12th time asking. What is your assignment? Why is God waking you up every morning? I got a sermon. I was going to do it for watch night, but I didn't. And the title of the sermon was, "Why Would God Give You Another Day?" I didn't do it. I was going to do it. And it's a good sermon. It really is. Got some good points in it. But why did God wake you up this morning? Of all the people that God can pick to live or die, why did he pick you to live? That's something for you to do. You should be steadfast, unmovable, always. Why did God give you another chance? All you sinners, reprobates, rebels, why did God let you live one more day? It can't be because you're that pretty. There's prettier people than all of us. Amen. It ain't because you got it all right, because ain't nobody got it all right. Anybody in here right now that got all that right, raise your hand. Thank you. If you don't put your hand down, boy, your mama just gave you the look that you didn't get it right. I mean, so the reality is, why? Why is God letting you remain in the capacity of deacon, preacher, choir disciple, minister? Why? Your whole life ain't DMV. You ain't always been in Nelson County. You was in Lynchburg. But the same God. Why are you, what are you doing? And if you ain't doing nothing, why ain't you doing something? It's too much around here. Anybody, all us can do. In the kingdom. All us can help out teaching the children. All of us can help out with our seniors and loving on people and learning. You can't love till you learn how to love. How many of y'all remember when you told somebody you didn't love, they told you don't even know what love is? And you found out they right. Because love comes with mortgages, hospital bills, heartache, disappointment, failure. And then you realize this is what love is. Love won't feed you. You'll starve to death trying to live off love. Yes, sir. You'll lose a whole lot of weight trying to live off love. Love will make you go broke. Trying to stay home and lovey-dovey and hung, you know, all that shacking up and all, and then go to work 3 days in a row. That's fire. And then the bills come by, I love you. No, that ain't going to help right here. And in the body of Christ, you say you love God, then what's your sacrifice? Because love becomes sacrificial when it's serious. But that song, just what you won't do, do for love. You tried everything. See how we feel right there? That's how you ought to feel about God. Listen, let me tell you something. I know I'm using up my time, but I made up my mind. This is how I want to do it from here on in. Let me tell you something right now. You can't keep singing stuff you can't live. You better get out of my choir up there lying, singing song, because I'm gonna hold you. I'm gonna remind you. If I remind, I'm gonna say, you know, you sang that little song last week about all the glory. You sang that little song about high and lifted up. I don't see it. You can't keep fooling yourself, because you're the biggest fool if you're just fooling yourself. You think you're fooling us? We ain't crazy. We know lazy when we see it. We know when we look around and say, well, where's Yvette this Sunday? Where's Jasmine? Anybody seen Ozelia? No. Well, she pulled the usher today. You know, even if you ain't on assignment, you ought to be on standby. I told y'all, when I was young, I used to pray my pastor got sick. Oh, yeah, y'all let me if you want to. I figured if he go down, I go up. Oh, yeah. My mom told me, I was home, my mom said, we having family and friends, and the pastor couldn't find nobody. I said, give me his phone number. She said, well, what? I said, I'm going to call him. I said, ain't no need of him preaching his own family and friends. I was here. But my friend had asked me, so as soon as I left my friend's church, I rushed over there. And he saw me come in. He said, man, if I'd have known. I said, my mama didn't call you. he said, no. I said, Doc, you ain't got to do this. I was here. So Jesse, I fixed him. He didn't let me preach, so he asked me to do the prayer. I preach me a prayer. Oh, yeah, I am. And when church broke, they say, oh, you sure preach that prayer. My aunt came to me. She said, you know, after you got through praying, we could have went on home. See, I mean, you got to put your stuff out there, you know. And sure enough, we got in the office. He said, Doc, give me your number, man. He said, because next time you're here, just call me, man. He said, Doc, anytime you're here, man, you got it. I said, all right, Reverend. I know what I do. I do it anywhere. And not just for me. I just love preaching. You know, I know y'all, I clown with y'all. But him, I'm telling you, what do? Why are you here? Because a whole lot of y'all don't love me like that. Y'all ain't here just because you love me. Don't never make me the focus of your attention. You really want to be with the Lord. I'm in the way most of the time. Say, come on, y'all looking at me real funny. Some of y'all got that RCA look. You know what RCA, little dog. Come on, talk to me. I'm trying to help you. You can't say you love a God that you won't serve. And you will never serve a God you don't love. So fall in love with it. That's why you do stuff for Eric. That's why you do stuff for Larry. That's why you do stuff for Sandra. That's why you do stuff for Lewis. All y'all who in love know you do stuff because love is the motivator. That's why some of y'all get up early in the morning and cook and vacuum and sweep and tend to sick babies and clean up vomit and clean up diapers and all that stuff because you love. When you stop loving, stuff go bad. Come on, talk to me. Everybody in this room know when you fall out of love, stuff start going bad. I know you expect me to cook for you. I ain't picking up your stuff. Come on, talk to me. Even when your children get on your nerve, things change for a little while. You tell them, all the privileges are off right now. Take you to McDonald's. You lucky I fixed you something to eat now. You know. Mama, my birthday coming. We're going to have a party. Party? You breathing, ain't you? That's your party. But when you're in love, you get that little bounce house and all that stuff, the balloon. You know, love make you do. But listen, hear me now. If you will do all that for people, why you keep robbing God? You ought to be off the chart for God. God ought to know you. We ought to be jealous of how you love God. You ought to be showing out for God every Sunday. When you sing, when you come in the house, when you people ought to say, ooh, that's just sugary right there. Some of y'all ought to make us have diabetic reflections. Because you just love God like that. I look at couples, you know, some of y'all, it took me 7 years to know y'all were married. And who you was married to. I'm like, oh, I ain't know you was married. Okay. I ain't seen no love. I mean, you know, you ain't got a whole hand and all that kind of, my hand sweat. So, you know, I told my wife, don't hold my hand. But the reality is this. I don't know who you belong to. I at least know who you got something going on with.